All right, here we go. I am Jeff K. This is the Jeff K. Show. We're broadcasting once again from deep, deep underneath a nondescript home in suburban Pennsylvania. Thanks for listening. It's much appreciated. You guys wouldn't believe how much trouble I've had attempting to record this episode. I've had a power outage right in the middle. The thing just like went down, like the entire, I had my computer crashed. I don't know what this is all about. The thing just like crashed. My phone was like buzzing. I had it turned all the way down, but I guess if the volume's turned down and a phone call comes in, it buzzes. And I think somebody was calling me over and over and over again. Turns out it was work. Thank you very much on my day off. Whatever. So that distracted me. I had to abandon ship on that deal. And then my son came home from work and was blasting something. I don't know, Slayer or something. I don't know what the Cannibal Corpse. I don't know. So I'm not sure. But anyway, so this is like the fifth time I've attempted this thing after, you know, aborted missions galore. So, anyway, I wanted to let you know right up front, this is a very special episode, but not the kind of special episode that 70s TV shows had, and 80s TV shows. Those were more like one of the characters have a cancer scare, or there's one of them has like sudden onset, you know, bulimia or something like that. You know, one of these, a character is, there's been no indication that this character had any kind of problems like this, but suddenly, you know, some bit player, some D-list, you know, stand-up comic out in L.A., you know, piece of shit living in squalor, you know. And sometimes I get confused. I get confused between the real person and the character. But anyway, so this bit player in this sitcom makes some kind of wisecrack about her, you know, weight or, you know, size of her ass, what have you. And she takes it to heart. Next thing you know, she's purging. Yep. And then the whole family comes together. You know, they find out, they realize what's going on. And, you know, they come together and they tackle it. They beat the scourge, the purge scourge. And, you know, lessons are learned. You know, by the end of that episode, you're taught a lesson. You're taught many lessons. You know, you have to be empathetic, sympathetic to the toll that this purging, you know, can take on a family. So it's nothing like that. I mean, there's no learning in this. I mean, in my podcast, no learning. There will be no learning. So it's nothing like that. The only reason it's a special episode is because it's the first Monday episode. That's right. In the past, I've only done 10. I've done 10 episodes. I don't want to say only. I mean, that's a lot, you know. I've done 10 episodes. All of them are available on patreon.com/JeffK. The way to get them is to pledge at least $4 a month, and you'll have access to all of them. That's going to continue. Nothing's changing with the Thursday show. And you just $4 or more, you know, focus on the or more part. It doesn't have to be $4. It can be, you know, don't get locked into that. It can be, I don't know, $1,700 a month. But, you know, whatever you feel comfortable with. Just anything above $4 will unlock the audio. So that's not going to change. The Thursday show is still going to continue. And the Monday show, it's the same show. It's just different episodes. It's like additional episodes. So this is a bonus on top of a bonus, man. That's crazy. So the Monday episodes, I'm going to put those things out into the normal channels, you know, like iTunes, Stitcher, all the big podcast outlets. So the Monday episode is going to be available to the world. The Thursday episode, that's going to be exclusive to folks at patreon.com/JeffK. So if you want twice the Jeff K, now's the time. You know, the opportunity is upon you. Or you can just, you know, whatever. If you want to listen to the guy, if you want to listen to your coworker talk about his rash, that's fine too, whatever. I mean, the way I see it is there are three options. There's rash talk, or there's the Monday freebie, the one that goes out to the world, or two for a mere $4 a month, you get two episodes per week, which will, you know, you put your earbuds in, no rash talk. You just hear me talking about, I might be talking about rashes, but, you know, that's beside the point. Anyway, that's the reason why it's the very special episode. It's not like Little House on the Prairie when that girl got blind. I don't know. She went blind. I don't know. Like at the end, kind of an odd choice, really, when plot-wise. I don't know why a feel-good. The thing is not edgy, you know. It's just some place it's just a show, Little House on the Prairie. It was like the most popular show in America, I think, one of them. And suddenly they take one of the most sympathetic characters. Yeah, just make her blind. I don't really understand how that happened, but I don't know. Was she kicked by a horse? I don't know. I don't remember. But I used to watch it sometimes. Thing was ridiculous. But anyway, hold on a second. I'm gonna take a swig off this. I'm drinking a beer for the first time during these things. I just opened it though. It's a Goose Island IPA. Hang on a second. Not good. Ooh, God. It's got a weird aftertaste. It'll do the trick, I guess, but I'll never buy it again. Little House on the Prairie. You know, why would you make one of your main characters blind? Whatever. This happened in the 70s. What are we rehashing this shit? You know, the thing about it is, I saw a horror movie with that girl in it one time, and she was, like, running through the house, zigzagging, you know, some guy with a machete chasing her. And I shouted out, "Pretty good for a blind girl." Brought down the house. Man, that was that was a great, great moment. One of my great moments. I'll tell you about another great moment later. It's very similar. But anyway, this has nothing to do with 70s style bulimia. There's not going to be any, like, this is only a 30-minute podcast. I don't think there's going to be any, like, cancer scares during this thing. But I can't predict the future. So I wanted to get that out of the way. Today I was going to talk to you about something that happened in West Virginia. When I keep going back to this trip to West Virginia, but it's very fertile. It's a very fertile subject. I was sitting in my parents' house on my recent visit there, watching yet another episode of Family Feud with that hilarious Steve Harvey, you know. The thing about that Steve Harvey is he does this thing where somebody says something that he thinks is ridiculous. He just, like, turns his head and looks straight into the camera with his mouth slightly hanging open. Man, that's good. That's some good comedy right there. He's a good reactor, that Steve Harvey. So, you know, I think there's a channel out there. Apparently my parents found it, or maybe, I don't know, it's 24 hours, apparently, of nothing but Family Feud with Steve Harvey. So I watched maybe 10 to 15 episodes of it while I was there. It's on all the time. So that was, you know, it's high entertainment. And so anyway, I was sitting there watching Family Feud. My dad comes in with this plastic bag, something inside of it. It's like super heavy. And he's like, take this home with you. Turns out it was a brick from the old junior high school that was demolished back in the 90s. It was the junior high school that I went to, my brother went to, my mom and dad went to, you know. It was there from, like, the 20s. I think it was built in the 20s. And it was originally a high school, and then at some point in the 50s, I think, it was made into the junior high. And so it's kind of a historic place. When I was a kid, I used to be kind of intimidated by that place. It was like this giant Gothic, you know, building. Probably had like gargoyles on it. I don't remember, but it's kind of an imposing structure. It was one of those buildings like from back in the day when it could be, you know, it could be a school, it could be a prison, it could be a sanitarium for people with, you know, lung trouble or whatever, what have you, or a nut house. You know, they all looked very similar. But this was a school, and it was kind of scary looking. Big old tall building, bunch of older kids going there. Seemed like, who knows, I had no idea. My imagination was running wild what was going on inside that place. But I knew I was going to eventually have to go there probably. And it kind of scared me, to tell you the truth. And then, you know, the way it works in my hometown, at least it used to, is one grade 1 through 6 was grade school. They didn't have K, except for Jeff K, of course. They didn't have kindergarten. I think they had, like, some kind of underground bootleg black market kindergarten. But I don't know. They didn't have any state-sanctioned kindergarten back then. So it was just 1 through 6 grade school, 7 through 9 junior high, and 10 through 12 high school. Yeah, I don't like that whole middle school thing. It was junior high when I went to it, that I'm sticking with that. I don't like that middle school crap. You know, it seems a little on the nose to me, you know. Middle. Why don't they call, if you're going to do that, why don't you just call elementary school low school? So first, 1 through 6 low school, 7 through 9 middle school, and then 10 through 12 high school. That's the way it worked. So I was in, you know, for 6 years, first 6 years of my schooling, I was at, you know, in an elementary school, and we're like, you know, collaring turkeys, you know, in a book, maybe like doing an outline of our hand, you know, maybe, you know, gluing macaroni on a page, you know, this is the stuff I was doing. All the teachers were like super nice and wholesome, like, you know, and everything. So this place, you know, this place scared the hell out of me. And after the sixth grade was over, I was like, all summer, I was like, oh, God, I'm going to have to go to that big old Gothic castle in the middle of town. And I can remember when we were walking over there, me and a bunch of my friends, we walked on that first day, and it was, I think we were all about to shit ourselves. But everybody's acting, you know, cool, you know. You know, everybody's, you know, there's no way you can show any kind of fear. So we get over there, and there's a whole bunch of kids. The thing about it is, another part of it that was scary is they had like 5 or 6 elementary schools that all dumped into this junior high. And so there was a whole bunch of kids we didn't know. So there was a whole bunch of new kids, too. So that added the anxiety. And we got there, there's a whole bunch of kids outside the school, and everybody's posturing. It's like prison, you know, some kind of prison situation. Everybody's like posturing and trying to establish dominance. So I was like, you know, petrified, terrified. We walked in the building, and there's like this very distinct smell. And I find out years later that pretty much every school smells this way, except for elementary schools. They have a different smell, but like middle school, junior high school, those kind of places, they all have this distinct smell. And it's like, you know, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like, you know, industrial cleaning materials, like sweat, you know, like old hampers, like a clothes hamper in August. And just a whole bunch of stuff mixed together. It's a pungent stew, you know, and you know, finishes with faint notes of like ass and right guard. You know what I mean? It's when we walked in, that was one of the things I remember, is the smell of that place. Holy hell. And then we were like separated, like our friend, I was like separated. It's like going into the military or something. They're doing some kind of mind tricks just to keep you on your toes. So we were all separated, went to different rooms, and, Within 3 days, I was absorbed into the whole organism, became a part of it, you know. And it was no longer intimidating, but it sucked, you know. It was the worst 3 years of my schooling by far. I can remember being upstairs. I was in seventh grade. I was a kid. I mean, I was a little kid when I was in seventh grade. I can remember being on one of the top, like on the third floor or something. And there's this guy, he's a ninth grader. And the guy looks like freaking, what's his name? Burt Reynolds. Looks like Burt Reynolds. He's like a mustache. He's like chest hair bursting out of the top of his. This guy's like standing there, his shirt unbuttoned, like leaning against the locker with with his sunglasses hanging out of his pocket. Ugh. And then there's like some girl, it looks like she's about 11 months pregnant, trying to get her locker open, kicking it, swearing. I was like, yeah, we're a long way from finger painting and whatever we did in sixth grade. So it was a whole new world. I had a heart. It was a transition and something was a little difficult, but you know, whatever, you get in the swing of things pretty quickly. But there was some, I want to tell you about some specific things. Oh, fights. There was a lot of fights that, you know, in my entire life, I haven't been in, if you take those 3 years of junior high, I had way more fights than I have in the rest of my entire life combined. It was like Lord of the Flies in that place. If you didn't fight, you'd just be steamrolled right over. I mean, you'd be, you know, be a non-entity. So you had to fight, and I'm not a fighter. I'm going to get my ass kicked if I ever, you know, I'm not going out there fighting, that's for sure. But I had to in junior high. I remember there was this, hold on, let me take another slug off this goose bitch. God damn. Oh, God. Anyway, one time I was in gym class, and there was this kid who, he zeroed in on me for some reason. I was trying to make my life a living hell and doing a pretty good job of it. So I'd about had enough of him. And we were in gym class and we were playing Foursquare, which is perhaps the lamest game ever. And he said something to me and just an eruption of rage. I could just feel like a bolt of rage go right through me. And I hit him in the face. I punched him in the face so hard, I think his head went all the way around. It was like, it made a loud smack, you know, like on Mannix, you know. The thing was crazy. The whole place went quiet, you know. And he didn't go down, but he was like, his eyes were blinking real fast and he was like stumbling around. But that took care of that problem. I never had any issues with that little prick again. But the gym coach, I'm not going to say his name. He came rushing over there and like manhandling me, like pushing me around. He's, what are you doing? You know, and this guy, I told him, he took me outside, dragged me outside, like pushing me and stuff. And I told him, I said, this guy's been making my life a living hell for 2 weeks and he deserved what he got. That's basically what I told him. And he didn't care for that. And I guess he wanted me to apologize or say, show some kind of remorse, but I was showing none. So check this deal out. Tell me what would happen if this happened in today's world. He took me back inside. He called the entire class over, including the girls. They formed this big semicircle, made me bend over and put my hand on my knees and spanked my ass, like, in front of everybody. Everybody's cheering. It's like something out of like ancient Rome or something. So yeah, that happened. That's fantastic. Public humiliation, whatever. I don't really care. You know, guy got what he deserved. Fuck him. You know, if there's a guy in this world that deserved what he got, it was him. So that was crazy. If they did that now, I think the CNN trucks would roll. You know, they'd be in there. They'd probably take the teacher out in handcuffs. But I don't know. Back then, It was a different world. Let's see, what else? What else is on my list of? I wrote down some highlights from the junior high years. Oh, another thing was public. Speaking of public humiliation, they forced us to like shower. Like the boys had to shower. You talk about horrible. Like in gym class, you have to shower afterwards in front of all your, you know, all these other boys. Oh, God. And you're like 13. There is nothing worse. So you go in there and there'd be like, you know, you'd be in there for like 1 minute. You'd feel something on your leg, like something hot on your leg. Somebody's peeing on you, you know, and or somebody like hurl a Nolan Ryan fastball with the bar of soap right in the center of your back or whatever. And everybody's, oh, God, thing's horrific. Yeah, mostly I just went in there and like stuck my head under the water so that the coach thought I took a shower. That was horrible. I don't think they do that anymore. I don't think they make them do that anymore. Back then they did, man. Yeah, you talk about a different world. Holy crap. So anyway, so that was awful. Let's see what else I got. Oh, Mr. Yared. There was this teacher named Mr. Yared. He was up on the third floor. He had this big giant classroom, and he had couches in there and stuff. He was like one of these gruff but lovable guys. I think he used to own a pool room. And in fact, he used to, when he was teaching, he'd have like a pool cue and he'd use it as a pointer. So he was like he'd bellow and he'd tell stories. He was like a raconteur. He would tell stories and he would bellow and yell and, you know, he'd give you, like, rip you a new one, but he did it with love. And everybody loved this guy, even though, you know, he could be pretty rough on you. But one time he was telling this story about this car crashed and went into the river. And the paramedics, people died, and some people were blaming it on the fact that the paramedics couldn't get down to the river fast enough because people were down there rubbernecking and looking to see what was going on. And he and Mr. Yared was like, all these idiots standing on the riverbank stretching their necks going, did anybody get hurt? Did anybody get their arms cut off? You know, I busted out laughing. I thought that was hilarious. And he come racing over there. You think that's funny, Kay? That's not funny. You're sick. You're sick. So that was fun. That was a good moment. Another time there was a kid in there who he just ran up to the front of the room and just like puked his guts out into the trash can. And everybody's like, oh, God, you know. And Mr. Yared's like, you people need to knock it off. Can't you see this boy's sick? You know, giving us hell about it. And he goes, you go down to the, he told the boy, you go down to the clinic, I'll be down there in a few minutes. And and as soon as he left the room, he goes, is he gone? Mr. Yared was like, is he gone? And he goes, ooh, God, did you see that? Bologna sandwich and bean with bacon soup. So the whole place just busted out laughing. He was fantastic. Near the end of his life, he died a few years ago, but near the end of his life, he signed up for a Facebook account, and I don't generally like Facebook because it's a swirling cesspool, but I have to hand it to him. He signed up for a Facebook, and there was like this avalanche of all these people just telling him how important he was in their lives and how great he's like the best teacher ever, and he changed their lives and all this stuff. So he just had like all this adulation coming his way through Facebook during the last few years of his life, which is pretty cool, man. The guy deserved it. He was a great teacher and a very memorable character on top of that. Let's see what else. Oh, I told you there's another similar one to my when I shouted in that theater. This happened in junior high too, ninth grade. I was in French class. I had French, by the way, in ninth, 10th, 11th, and I can't speak one word of French. I don't know anything about it. Maybe I could do, je m'appelle, je vois. I don't know. Who knows? I think that means my name is Jeff. Anyway, so I was in French class, and this girl, who was one of the most popular girls in school, comes in with this T-shirt on, and it had some French saying on the front of it, right? And the teacher goes, Jeff, can you tell the class what's written on the front of Sean's T-shirt? And I said, no. And she goes, well, why not? And I said, it's way too bumpy. So the plaid brought down the house again. You know, that was one of my... You know, when you think back on your great moments of your school career, some people think of, like, academics and maybe sports-related stuff. I think of, like, the sarcastic, smart-ass comments that I made that actually, did the trick, went over well. Those are the highlights, and that was one of them, the too bumpy. And she, the girl was like completely embarrassed, and the teacher wasn't very appreciative, but it was a good one. Yeah, whatever. I'll go with it. I don't know. I have a few other things, but I'm going to call it quits here. I'm going to finish off this Goose Island. This thing tastes like it's got a little bit of kerosene in it. I don't know. Never had tasted an IPA that tasted quite like this. I don't know. It's got like kind of, looks like it's dipped in like lamp oil or something. Anyway, I don't know how good this thing is. I'm having trouble with this. I'm struggling with this thing. But I hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back on Thursday, and then we'll be back again on next Monday. What do you think about that? Until then, have a great one. I'll see you. Bye.